be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. After entering a boat, Jesus made the crossing and came into his own town. And there people brought to him a paralytic lying on a stretcher. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Courage, child, your sins are forgiven." At that, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." Jesus knew what they were thinking and said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home." He rose and went home. When the crowds saw this, they were struck with awe and glorified God who had given such authority to men. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There's the famous scene in which Jesus, before he healed the boy of a father, when the father said, "Please do something if you can," and Jesus replied, "If you can, all things are possible for those who have faith." And his father said, "Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief." Today we see that all things are possible for faith. And in these readings and in the votive mass we celebrate, it's an opportunity to spur us on to a deeper faith today, tomorrow, and contagiously for the rest of our life. The first reading, we've got our father in faith in the climax of his life of faith, when after the Lord had made him wait for 24 years to fulfill the promise he had given when he said, "Leave Ur of the Chaldees," after he had promised that he would make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore. He waited that first year, that second year, that third year, that fourth, all the way up for a quarter of a century until he was 99, till Sarah herself had conceived. But then after that, 13 years in, with his only son, who would be the one through whom all those nations would flow, God the Father asked him to sacrifice so that there would be no doubt that he loved the Lord even more than he loved his natural offspring. So off they went with images that obviously show what happened on Good Friday, with a son carrying the wood of the sacrifice up a mountain. It was there that Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac. How could any father do this? The letter to the Hebrews answers that question when it said poignantly about the faith of Abraham, that Abraham knew Isaac was the son of the promise. He knew that the Lord was going to give him many grandsons and great-grandsons and great-great-grandsons and all the way down to our own generation. It was all going to happen through Isaac. So, therefore, if God was asking him to sacrifice Isaac, and if the angel didn't stop his hand, Isaac would be dead. But then God would raise Isaac from the dead, because he is the son of the promise. And we can hear what the letter of the Hebrews says, and then sort of translate it through the resurrection and say, oh yeah, God has that power. This was 1800 years before the resurrection. And Abraham had faith that even should his son die, God would do the absolute impossible and raise him from the dead, because he was the son of the promise. God had said it, and he would do it, and that's why Abraham had the courage to do exactly what God was asking. because he knew God would not go back on his word. That's why Abraham is our father in faith, because he trusted even when human logic would go totally in an opposite direction. As great as a faith that was, and as great as a miracle Abraham knew would happen if God needed to do it, we see the realization of an even greater miracle in the gospel. Four friends have a paralyzed buddy, and they had heard about all Jesus had done his first wave there in Capernaum, when everybody was being just left at the gates of Peter's house, and he was healing all the way basically to midnight and escaping to pray. Soon as word had come that Jesus had come back, they carry their friend on a stretcher. We don't know how long that journey was. Not an easy journey, carrying someone. Then they get to the house, as we hear. There's not enough room. So they have to do something incredibly difficult that I wouldn't recommend, that the climb up on a roof, keeping their buddy playing, getting him up there so that he wouldn't fall, and as a paralyzed man fall straight on his head and die. They have to get him up there on top of the roof, and then they could take off the thatching. And again, keeping him level, lower him within. What incredible love they had for their friend, and what incredible faith they had in Jesus. Nobody would go through all of this if they didn't know his goodness and didn't know his power. And there they drop him, right in the heart of that room. Jesus knew why they had brought him. And seeing their faith, he went so far beyond what they would have ever asked for. My son, your sins are forgiven. That's when the blasphemies started from those who didn't believe God would give this great gift in tangible reality. It was always just this vague aspiration for God's forgiveness. They would have never guessed that mercy could become incarnate. And so to show it, Jesus did a lesser miracle. He said, which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven, or say rise and walk? It's easier to say your sins are forgiven, but much harder to do that. But so that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, rise, take up your stretcher, and go home. St. John Vianney said that the raising of a soul from sin is a greater miracle than raising Lazarus from the dead. That what Jesus did in this gospel would have been a far greater miracle than raising Isaac from the dead. And these friends had faith that moved Jesus to give that type of miracle. Today, we're celebrating a votive mass for our persecuted brothers and sisters throughout the world. Something that the church needs to do more of, to pray with one accord for our suffering brothers and sisters, just like the early church prayed for Peter when he was in prison. What incredible faith so many of our brothers and sisters have, being willing to suffer and even to be killed on account of this great gift that the Lord Jesus has given us, being pushed out of their homes, living in refugee camps, not being able to educate their kids, even though they had received great educations and were business owners, needing to sell little scraps here and there. Would have been much easier for them to just say to the forces, for example, of ISIS, yes, I'll accept Allah and say the little line that Muhammad is his prophet. But they wouldn't, because of their faith. The faith that teaches them that Jesus is worth living for and Jesus is worth dying for. And even should they suffer here, even should they be killed here, God, who regularly raises them from the dead every time they go to confession, God will raise their bodies and souls forever with him in heaven. Now it comes to us. Today, this morning, we start with a greater miracle than happened on Mount Moriah. Greater miracle that happened in this Capernaum home. It's the great miracle where Jesus takes simple human elements, bread and wine, and totally transforms them into himself. And then he puts himself within us. Just like the Blessed Virgin carried Jesus in her womb for 9 months, we will carry the same Jesus within us today. It's a miracle of his love, and it's a miracle of his election for each of us. Everything else flows from that great gift. And if God doesn't even spare his own son, but hands him over for us all, will he not give us everything else besides? St. John Vianney, when he used to pray during the Mass, knew that if God would hear his prayer to send his son onto the altar at his command, that everything else he could ask for was small in comparison. And that's when he would ask for the great miracles. Let's prepare our prayers.